I'm going to allow an opportunity for us to do this introduction of who we are. Suffice to say that we are grateful to various portfolio committees that we have invited for agreeing to join us today in this portfolio committee on mineral resources. We have extended invitation to portfolio committee on public enterprises. We also have extended invitation to portfolio committee on cooperative governance and traditional affairs. We also extended invitation to members of parliament who come from Northern Cape. And I'm grateful that I see some faces that are unfamiliar, and therefore we will introduce each other for ease of reference and then get on to the apologies, and from there we get on to the agenda. My name is Fred Gordner. I'm the chairperson of this portfolio committee. Seated next to me is Kopalendia Khosa.
Member of the committee. Miriam Paliso, member of the Portfolio Committee of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, invited to the Mining Committee where I was an ex-member before. Thank you, bye. Lindy Mjobo, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Chris Holo. I'm a member of the committee.
Gerard Marais, founding of the Committee of Mineral Resources. My name is Peter van Dalen. I'm a member of the Public Enterprises Committee.
Gerard Koerno. Member of the Portfolio Committee, Public Enterprise.
Bumfred Mbabo, researcher for the Portfolio Committee on Mining.
My name is Anthony Kamungoma. I'm with the Department of Public Enterprises.
I'm Sal Van Aki. I'm the legal advisor to Alex Scott.
Philip Pimpin, director from LDC.
Drian Wessels, Kuntaba Asset Manager.
George van die Kerk, Edward Nathan Sonowitz, advisor to the trust.
The two gentlemen, you just mentioned your capacity as asset manager and formation?
From Namakula Diamond Fund Trust.
Okay. Where are you both from?
I'm from the auditors of the fund.
Margaret Williams, CEO in the Maple and Diamond Fund Trust.
Kelvin Rhodes, IT Administrator of the Maple and Diamond Fund Trust.
The gentlemen and ladies who are sitting on the seats there, can you go closer to where the mic is and introduce yourself?
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Leonore van Leeuwen. I'm the provincial trustee on the Namakwa Diamond Fund Trust.
Good morning, honorable members. I'm Siambule Lalena, the provincial trustee of the Namakwa Diamond Fund Trust.
Good morning, members. I'm Fanny Kibiru, provincial trustee, NDFT.
Can we do this before going that side? I want trustees to sit on the table. Your advisors can advise you from behind.
Okay.
Because you are the ones that must account to us. Yeah. So, all trustees, please occupy this so that we can see. Can we have an introduction from those who are sitting on this side, ladies and gentlemen?
The technical rulers, National Union of Mine Workers.
Madam.
I am a post committee assistant.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, may we extend a special welcome to Honorable Vindi Ujogo. She is a new member that has is joining us for the first time today after the redeployments that were on the ATC in the past week. Welcome, Honorable Member, in the Mineral Resources Committee. Do we have any apologies? I will ask the two secretaries. Is there a secretary from Cooperative Governance? Not yet. Okay. I'll ask the two secretaries to give us the apologies that are there. Thank you.
For the Portfolio Committee on Mining, I've got four apologies. The first one is from Honorable Matibela. She apologized because she went on an oversight visit to energy in France. The second one is from Honorable Tindo. She also apologized because she's going to the trip to France. The third one is from Honorable Lucas. He apologized due to prior commitments. The last one is from Honorable Paul.
Good morning again. The apologies are received from Port Public Enterprises. The chairperson of the portfolio committee is attending the Ad Hoc Committee on Information there. Mr. Nana is attending the Justice Committee. Mr. Jikobo Kupazambo is attending another committee. Ms. Hajit is attending the Trade and Industry. Ms. Bowman is in the Human Settlements Committee today. And Ms. Connie September is in the Trade and Industry Committee.
Honorable
Chairperson,
Honorable
Smith
will join us later around about
15. Honorable
Van
Dev, is it Van? Yes, Mr. Chairperson, from Darlan. I just wanted to know, I didn't hear anybody from Transhex that is here. If they were also invited according to your letter.
You're quite right. We would hear from the secretariat if there's anybody. But I think somebody from Public Enterprises will be able to assist us in terms of Alexco. Is it their legal advisor who was to be here?
Yes, Honorable Chairperson. The Alexco has an audit and risk committee today that they had to attend, unfortunately. So apologies from T.V. McLean, the CEO of Alexco.
So you are the legal advisor, you're representing them?
Yes.
Correct. Okay. Honorable Ali.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The Northern Cape delegation is in their different portfolio committee meetings. Some of them will join us later. The chairperson of the social committee is in Port Elizabeth, so she will be unable to attend the meeting. I was delegated to come to the meeting. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Let's just allow the opportunity for the two gentlemen who have just joined us to introduce themselves, and then we get on to the meeting.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I am A.B. Marman from the National Union of Mine Workers.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Dia from the Western Union of Mine Workers.
Thank you very much. As I have already, you know, warmly welcomed all of you, particularly those who have responded to our invitation. For ease of reference, there are two trust funds that we're dealing with. This is arising from the oversight visits that were conducted by the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources, where in the course of those visits, we have met both the mining companies in Northern Cape, particularly in Namakwa, as well as the communities, different communities. And out of those interactions, we've discovered from both the communities as well as the mining companies that there exist two trust funds. One is the Namakwaland Development Trust Fund, whose delegation is present here and whose delegation was present with us in the last meeting on Wednesday last week. The second one is Alexco Development Foundation, which did not attend the sitting last Wednesday, and they are not here also as well today. We will come back to them. And indeed, what we have discovered, as I've indicated, is that whilst there's mining activity going on there of a very valuable commodity called diamond, the communities that are residing within close proximity of those mines, which we would term them as mining communities, derive very little benefit from the mining activity. Their benefit is limited to the employment opportunities that are offered by those companies, and no plowing back, either in the form of the legally required social and labor plan that should be executed by the companies in terms of Mineral Resources and Development Act, Mineral Petroleum Resources Development Act, or through the mining charter requirements. And indeed, upon us inquiring on that situation, because we found out that those communities are trapped into abject poverty. There's only one community that has some semblance of development, which is the Alexander Township, which when we were there, we found it in the process of being upgraded, but also that is done through government funding. The Department of Public Enterprises, in conjunction with the National Treasury, have made substantial contributions. All what the mining company is doing is to manage that process. Otherwise, the funding, the actual funding for the upgrading of that township is from the government coffers, National Fiscal. Now, then we were basically not happy, and as we are not happy even now with what we found. Then there was this information that there are these trust funds, and people actually raised their concerns about the fact that they hear that they are trust funds. They don't have frequent interaction with the trust funds. They are not sure what is the mandate of the trust funds, what are they using the money that they are collecting for, how much money have they collected, and all those related details. And as therefore the committee, we then decided that we need to invite the trust funds. At first, we asked the company's consent for them to find the information for us, because we were informed, and it was confirmed by Transex that they are contributing a percentage of royalties to the Namakwa Development Trust Fund, and that Alexco also confirmed that they are making contributions to the Alexco Development Foundation since their inception, and then there were different arrangements that were arrived at. And indeed, we asked them to obtain information on our behalf from this transfer so that they can send it through, so that we can analyze the information and confirm whether the allegations made by the communities are, valid. And indeed, we did have some problem in terms of obtaining that information, except from the Namakwa Development Fund Trust, who willingly, especially when we took a decision to invite them to appear before the portfolio committee, responded in writing to say that they would come, and indeed they did come. Alex Core Development Foundation has been playing hide-and-seek. Firstly, they've played hide-and-seek with Alex Core company itself. They showed us records of them having been in contact with them over 3 years, trying to get information, and up to now, they couldn't. The latest was the correspondence that they sent to them in July, after we've been there, to no avail. We also extended the invitation ourselves, and they are not here. But we'll come back to that in terms of how do we deal with that situation, because we can't leave it as it is. It's not in the nature of Parliament to just, if people are playing these funny games, and you just leave them as they are, particularly when they handle, you know, monies that are for communities. And in this instance, Alesco is a state-owned entity, and therefore whatever monies that flow from Alesco to wherever, those are directly state funds. Therefore, anybody who handles such money has to account in terms of what it is that they are doing. Now, therefore, in the last meeting, we had been graced, as I indicated, by the trustees, as they are here today, of the NDFT. Yeah. In our interaction with them, they gave us their presentation in terms of who they are, what is it that they are doing, and but in the questions that through the engagement with the portfolio committee members, they could not satisfy us, and some of the information was insufficient for us to then be able to process. One example is that they tabled their financial records or financial statements, audited financial statements for various years, but then we decided to pay attention to the latest audited financial statement. What we discovered was that the audited statement that they tabled was unsigned, not signed by the auditors. It was signed by the chairperson of the trust fund. And we've requested them to go back and get the auditors to do the right thing, particularly that within that audited statement, we have discovered that there are qualifications that the auditor, you know, raised in that report. And we've requested, because it's mainly in Africa, we've requested that if it is possible that we get an English version. So the trustees indicated that they would attempt, but we won't compel you. If you're unable, you're unable. But for ease of reference, that's why we, because Afrikaans is one of the official languages. But if you were able, we would be happy. So there are those outstanding, you know, that is outstanding information which we hope today we would have it at our disposal and be able to process. But I would suggest, honorable members, let's just deal for a second with Alex Core Development Fund and come back to NDFT. Given the attempts that were made, not only by us, but also by Alex Core, we've checked also with the Department of Public Enterprises, it seems to be a task of climbing a mountain to get information from that trust fund. And we would want that the committee section must engage the legal resources available in Parliament to look at the provisions of the Constitution. I can't remember what section 56 or whatever section that basically give us powers to someone to basically you know, invite anybody across the country, anybody, as Parliament, as portfolio committees of Parliament, to appear before us to deal with them on a matter that we believe is of a national interest. And that if there's resistance or refusal, we have powers to subpoena them. There are procedures, of course, that must be followed in terms of also getting right to the office of the speaker. We want the committee section to get us that legal process. If you approve, we must institute those processes immediately so that we were able to get the trustees of the trust funds to come here. And if they can't come here, then they are in breach of law. And people who are in breach of law, that means it's a criminal act, and therefore the law must take its course. So I'm putting it to you, Honorable Member, so that we deal with this Alex Hope matter. We will close it for now and follow that process and then come back to this one. I would want to see your hands, either in support or in rejection of the proposal. Honorable Maria, I saw your hand. Can you press that, please?
Support.
Thank you. Honorable Magagule?
Support.
Anyone opposed to the approach?
Contender.
Okay. Honorable members, then we will deal with it in that fashion. It would go right up to us subpoenaing them for them to appear before us. And whatever other actions associated, if it means we must put them under administration with immediate effect, that's what we would do. We'll just look at the legal basis for us to have that decisive intervention, because it can't be that they are accountable to nobody handling matters on behalf of the community and the state. Then let's come back to NTFT. Allow them to give us the outstanding information, and then we take it from there. Public Enterprises, eh? Over to you, sir.
Chairperson, I request to be excused. I'll be appearing at the Select Committee on labor and Public Enterprises at 10 o'clock.
Very well. We would want you as Public Enterprises to be part of this process. If you could to be in liaison with the committee section in terms of that legal opinion and the legal processes that have to be taken so that you are informed all the way through to the last.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Okay, you are released. Thank you. Over to you, NDTF. Should I step aside? Okay.
Honourable Chairperson Barner and other honourable members, thank you again for this second chance or second opportunity to brief you on the Macmillan Diamond Fund Trust. At the last presentation, we received a number of questions which warranted more of an in-depth explanation, and we will now proceed to deal with them one by one. The first one was the elaboration on objectives. Now, the overall purpose of the trust is to improve the quality of life of the inhabitants in its beneficiary areas. This they do by enhancing social, cultural, and economic well-being. This purpose is served by two fund structures, the education and training and the charitable institution. We will start with the education and training in different areas. The bursaries, here we provide bursaries for secondary education, tertiary education, as well as funding for skill training. The programs that we are funding and also taking part in the planning is the intervention programs for the grade 12, the inclusive programs for primary schools, and programs for people with special needs. And then we also support the local FET college, the Namakwa FET college, with equipment, with bursaries. The next one is the special programs, the internships, as well as learnerships. That is in the medical field as well as in the technical field. Financial assistance to schools, that is for equipment and programs, and additional support for scarce professions, for example, mathematics and computer science, as well as for medical staff. We already mentioned the infrastructure at the last session when you were here. I'm not going to go through that again. Social welfare, HIV programs and home-based care consumables, food parcels and blankets, and then we also support the CANSA, and we are taking part in the annual programs or the monthly programs. We give support to old age homes and institutions for people with special needs, and that is in the areas of upgrading and funding of operational costs, like in Steinkopf. Then the next one is primary health care, example eye care, financial support for funerals, coordination and support for rehabilitation, in instance of substance abuse, support of restitution of relationships among inmates and families. The other part is the sport and sports, arts and culture. We give assistance to sports activities that on a local, regional, professional as well as on national level. Sponsorships, example, we sponsor the Dayton Marathon. We have been sponsoring it for the past 6 years now. Upgrading of sports grounds in the areas that we serve. The annual budget for sports this year, which is $250,000, and it covers a total of 56 primary schools and 12 secondary schools, and that is for participation on district level, provincial and national sports codes. Then we have the figures on the charity contributions for 2004, 2000 and so 2010. Mr. Chair, would you like me to go through each and every one, or can I just keep it on the screen for questions, maybe?
Yes. I think it's
right
for you. It's about your last slide.
No. The second question was the rationale for appointing new auditors. The question was, what was the rationale for changing from one auditing company from Pricewaterhouse to LLDP? Now, as you can remember, in December 2009, a panel was appointed to investigate and make recommendations about improving the integrity of financial markets by more efficiently regulating all the auditors and accountants. One of the recommendations made by the panel was that accountants responsible for the auditing of a company's financial statements should ideally be replaced every 5 years. Although the previous firm of auditors, that's PricewaterhouseCoopers, has served the trust well for more than 10 years, it was felt to be in the interest of good corporate governance to appoint a new auditor firm and the NDF follow a due process for the engagement of new auditors in accordance with particular criteria. This criteria had to do with cost, the effectiveness, special services, or specialized group services. This was also done in the interest of cost effectiveness and centralizing the group of specialists in Cape Town. Cash grant is the next one. Why did the track by cash grant in view of the obvious risks involved? Most of the NDFC's beneficiaries do not have bank accounts, and many of the rural areas, there are no banking facilities. In the past, cash grants were paid out to trustees, but are now deposited directly into their bank accounts because we requested that they should open such accounts. The audit report not signed. This question arises why a particular audit report had not been signed. Now, we want to explain that. The process for final signing of audited financial statements involves the presentation of a draft copy of the statement, which is amended if needed and signed off by the chairperson of the trust, whereafter the final copy is stable for signature. The above process was duly followed, and as per a letter received from PricewaterhouseCoopers, the then auditors, dated 27 October 2010, the books of accounts of the NDFC has been audited and signed off over the period 1995 to 2008. Explanation of qualification of audit reports. The nature of donations made to the NDFC renders it impossible to document such donations until such time as the income has been received in exact terms. For example, royalty income varies from year to year. Other donations vary from year to year, like for the Daisy Marathon, for instance. As per an explanation received from LDP on the 22nd of October 2010, pertaining to the qualification of audited statements, the report was qualified in view of the nature of cash grants and donations and the inherent problem of the confirming the comprehensiveness of cash grants. In general, the view of auditors over the years has been that the financial statement has been a reasonable representation of the cash flow and operations of the NDFC in accordance with the South African standards of accounting practices. The question about the NDFC invests in properties in other provinces and not the Northern States. According to the selection criteria, property investment opportunities in the Northern States are preferable to other opportunities. Thus, investment opportunities in the Northern Cape province were indeed considered. However, none of the opportunities met the investment objectives and the selection criteria. The rationale for purchasing Greenway 5 in Belgium.
I don't know, maybe it's my eyesight challenges. The font size of your report in the booklet is too small. I'm asking the committee section to quickly run a copy because we need to engage you with something that is clear on the document. Do you have a stiff or what? What is it? But continue. Welcome, Honorable Schmidt. We did receive your apology.
However, it was then decided to widen the scope of opportunities to to other regions, and there is a merit in sourcing investment return from outside of the region and adding it to the region through the PPA of the trust, thereby increasing economic value and not reallocating it. Other investment opportunities in the Northern Cape district are still being investigated. For example, the STC property portfolio in Springbok, possible development in conjunction with Upington municipality, development of an office park in Springbok, development of a regional shopping center in Springbok. To date, none of these yet met the selection criteria and investment limits. Ongoing consideration is given to exposure limits, asset allocation, risk available, surplus funds, and future anticipated PPA spending. The rationale for purchasing number 5 Greenway Drive, a residential property. The main objective for this was to get housing for the trustees when they visit Cape Town for business. The strategy has the dual advantage of investing in oneself and not paying other parties, as well as the preservation of capital. As a means for the further generation of funds, the house has been set up as a self-catering unit, which is being advertised in the entity services providers and as well as the business partners. The following question was the contextualizing the taking on of municipal functions and retaining a focus on welfare or charity. Projects for the particular community are determined and prioritized by themselves and the annual compulsory visit of the community by the full board of trustees. And the second round for this annual compulsory visits are starting on Sunday at Komakati. Therefore, communities are neat, determined, and prioritized at the budget meeting. And these are tabled at board meetings by the local trustees or representatives for discussion and approval by the local board. The selection of projects is therefore not determined or prescribed by the municipality, but induced by the communities themselves. The second question was on reporting. How and when reporting is done to the community, as well as to the project and the founder, the national government of the Republic of South Africa. As determined by the deed of trust, annual meetings are held with all beneficiary communities for the purpose of need identification and report back. The trust accommodates four provincial representatives on the board, amongst others, to ensure open channels of communication with all tiers of government. Annual reports and financial statements are provided to the province and the Auditor General. Individual trustees conduct meetings with their local beneficiary communities. And the purpose for this is report back, determination of priorities, as well as budgeting. The question about whether trustees receive a salary as compensation. As is standard practice, trustees receive an attendance fee for attending constituted board meetings. Travel expenses related to the business of the trust are reimbursed at a fixed amount per kilometer, which is based upon and aligned with the varying price of fuel. At the most recent board meeting, it was decided to use published IHRS as the guideline for determining the reimbursement rate for travel expenses of the trustees in the coming year. It needs to be noted that the trustees' role in the beneficiary areas is one of active consultation, liaison, and counseling with individual beneficiaries on a continuous basis, something which is undertaken by trustees without any measure of tangible compensation. Then the question about the scheduling of meetings and related compensation. I do have a schedule which was approved by the council for 2010-11. This is the schedule for the board meetings, the executive meetings, as well as the different committee meetings. The schedule may change from time to time in response change circumstances, and supplementary meetings may be scheduled where matters need to be dealt with as a matter of urgency. Then we have a schedule of the compensation for trustees or the remuneration since 1994 to 2010, that is for the meeting as well as the tariff per kilometer traveling allowance after tax and before tax. Question about the scheduling of meetings and related compensation. Here's an excerpt from the deed of trust, clause 17. All costs and expenses which are expended by the trustees in the course of administering the trust fund, including their remuneration, as well as any income tax which they may have to pay in their representative capacity related to the income of the trust, has to be paid by the trustees from the trustees. I just put down the number of trustees to bring it into context with the schedule as well as the remuneration. The number of trustees are 11 trustees representing beneficiary areas, 4 provincial representatives, and 1 from Sundex. And there was also a question about the municipalities that is in our beneficiary areas. It's the Namakoyan municipality, the Rustenburg municipality, Kaimar, Kamsberg, I'm sorry. As well as the Makwan district municipality. The next question is how does the NDFC go about job creation in order to bring poverty relief? With the undertaking of projects, local labor is procured as far as it is practical. Local contractors are given preferences, often upon the satisfaction of the NDFC. Procurement criteria, SMMC supply the material required. Job creation and procurement. In summary, the following projects were undertaken in partnership with respective municipalities and particular requirements regarding procurement and empowerment as per their policy was approved. The project budget for the Concordia Community Hall was $2.7 million, and it was in partnership with Namakoa Municipality. The second is the electricity supply for the Rustenburg South, which includes Exim, Pertain, and Lekkerson, for a budget of $1.7 million, and was done in partnership with the Rustenburg Municipality. The third one was the budget project was 1.3 for electricity supply in the Lelyfontein area, which includes nearly 10 little towns. And that was done in partnership with the Kamsberg Municipality. The tower route in Sala was done in partnership with the Department of Roads and Public Works for 1 million rand. Oh, that was the contribution from the Macro and Diamond Fund Trust. Stock creation and procurement. During 2004, projects with a value of more than 3 million rand saw the empowerment of all local subcontractors as well as an SMP through procurement. In addition, a total of 80 jobs were created. In 2006, saw the creation of 145 jobs through projects totaling just more than 4.9 million rand. During 2007, projects to the value of 3.223 million rand used the empowerment of 8 local subcontractors, a total of 60 SMEs through procurement and 57 jobs. During 2008, a total of 11 projects to the value of 7.2 million rand empowered 7 local subcontractors, 15 SMEs, and led to the creation of 100 new jobs. Despite the economic downturn in 2009, when we started the Kubus Pipeline project, we paid about or spent about 4.2 million rand and so created 63 jobs. The next question is about the number of students who have been supported at secondary and tertiary level and the cost involved. 1995, we had 233 tertiary students and we spent about 543,000 rand on their as financial assistance. Or as bursaries on these tertiary students. And the secondary school and primary school that we serve, where we serve the burghers, and that gives us a total the tertiary as well as the secondary school, a total of 832,072 rand. For the years from 1995 so up to 2010, we had been serving 7,919 tertiary students at the amount of 24 million. Secondary school versus 16,259, and the total amount for tertiary as well as primary, secondary versus add up for the years 1995 to 2010 to the amount of 51,594,285,000. The summary of spend on education projects since 1995 to 2009, 1995, 305,673, in 2009, 1.348692 million. And these projects, educational projects, include investment in projects covering the procurement of equipment, literacy program, preschool establishment, skills training program, educational tours, HIV AIDS awareness program, work experience program, upgrading of local SEC college equipment, establishment of computer centers at schools, computer literacy programs, Rotary exchange programs. One of our students was President Mandela to England, advancement of community tourism, donations to orphanages, school support and cultural programs, intervention programs and career orientation, enhancement of academic achievement.
Can you go back to that slide and the one before that? There's a gap there in the one before that of 2009.
Okay.
Which is not the one before. Go to the one before that.
There's no 2009 here.
Alright. But also in the following slide, there are quite big gaps. You see, if those figures belong to the 737 belongs to 2003, the 435 belongs to 2004, 946 to 2005, and so it goes 3 years. There's no figure. Is that gap the result of your computer?
No, it's not the result of the computer, Mr. Chair. There were 13 years that we didn't, I think 99, I'm not sure, I must go back and find out, but in 1999, we had we didn't invest I can't explain it in Afrikaans. We had a bad financial year, so we didn't invest in educational programs, but only in bursaries. But I'm not sure. I must go back and find out.
What is happening to the trust.
I think if you see today, they come with some advisors, maybe with some lawyers, and then you feel which why the CEO doesn't know and doesn't show. I thank you, Chair.
Okay, well, what we want you to do is to say this, what I truly say is that 737.
litigation on some municipality supported by the NDFT in the establishment of the Abram ESO Trust for the transfer of students. And the question about the term of office of trustees and how they are elected, they are being elected for a period of 5 years in accordance with particular process. Summary of the process is notice of election is being given to the community, criteria for qualification of nominees are sent through to them, nomination process are sent through to them and explain criteria for qualification of voters in the voting procedure and this results the publication of results and then the acceptance of results by the candidates. Question about the term of office of trustees. I have already explained that they are elected for a period of 5 years and the trust, the deed of trust made provision for that in clause 10.11.1. Re-election depends on the choice of respective communities in the first instance, as democratic elections by community serves as the only venue for gaining representation on the board. Changes to the deed of trust. In summary, the following changes were effected to the deed of trust. We had three. The first one was on the tax. The second one on the term of the trustees. And the third one was about the economic, the trust investing property. The description of the rural areas and the definition of the Makulam was the term of office of trustees, the requirement to submit annual tax returns and related documentation. No trust funds will be paid over directly to any one individual, say for instance where public welfare activities are affected. Finances available for investment may be invested with registered financial institutions and or with any registered companies on the proviso that investments may not be made with the aim of speculation. The NDFT may directly or indirectly invest surplus funds in fixed property on the proviso that such investments may not be made with the aim of speculation. Question about why the NDFT would be concerned about current legislation, that was also a question. Should the NDFT find itself in the untenable situation of not being able to provide monetary support to its beneficiaries, 81,000 people who all have various degrees of need in terms of quality of life will be affected. Aspects to be most seriously affected include educational training, inclusive education and equipment for schools, aid support, HIV aid support for life-sustaining means and commodities, counseling and support. Question about whether the NDFT is enjoying sufficient cooperation from so-called strategic partners or alliances. It needs to be noted that the NDFT requests regarding a wide array of needs from the broad spectrum of departments. As the trust wishes to participate efficiently and effectively and align its efforts with broad community-based initiatives, it will be appreciated to be involved at grassroots in terms of department plans, priorities or prioritizing overall project scoping and budget. This will enable the trust input to be utilized optimally and achieve a seamless rollout of contributing activities and funding. We thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honorable members, can you come on the board?
Thank you very much, honorable members. There you've got the submission from the NDFT covering firstly some of the questions that we asked and giving us some additional information. So you would know if the information is not sufficient or not. So I note your hand, Honorable Mare, Honorable Fatiman, Honorable Hululu, Honorable Paliso, and Honorable Makakus, Honorable Fulton, in that, I defer to you, Honorable Mare.
Thank you, Chairperson. I first want to start, and I want confirmation here on the table today, as no cash grants has been given now, as that everything will be paid into bank accounts, that there will be always be a paper trail in regards to the grant that's been given. I want that confirmation. That's number one. Number two, I've asked last week about detail about the residential property that's been bought in Cape Town. Sorry to say the following, but I found it absolutely absurd to invest in a property in Cape Town for the use of trustees and for service providers. When they come to Cape Town for business, they can pay their way in staying in a hotel. I want to see what income does this property raise, or what is the income out of this property, because there's a capital investment that's been done. And you also said that in that second last slide, it's not for speculation. So if you invest in property, I want to see what income do you generate out of this. And to buy that type of investment, you should rather invest in the sense of job creation within the Northern Cape. Because the problem that I experienced when I was up in the Northern Cape with a committee doing oversight, is you do wonderful work as far as the investment is concerned through the municipalities, because in some form, you actually support and take a role over of the municipalities by doing infrastructure, but that is to the benefit of the community. But then one priority should be either training and job creation within that area to the benefit, direct benefit of the people. But because the people need income to survive and the people to actually to better their lives. And the only way to do that is through job creation and training, interacting with each other. So I want to make that point, and I want this investment of the house here in Cape Town. What income do you receive in a year, and what is the expenses of that income of that property? So that is to me a no-go. And then I want to know about the trustees. There's four representatives from the province. How are they being elected, or how are they being appointed? Are they appointed by the provincial government? And I want to know, are they employees of the government, or what is their occupation? I want to know if they receive also the same remuneration as the other 11 trustees. Then I want to go to the next page, and now this way I want the explanation of asked last time. There was on the financial statement for the previous year, there was more than 3 million was paid out, and it was stipulated the cost for the meetings as remuneration to the trustees, as well as their traveling, as well as their accommodation. And I asked exactly the questions, and he had answered that accommodation is to the maximum of the 3-star hotel. Now I want to go to the schedule that we given today, and this one, with a heading that says question about the scheduling of meetings and the related compensation. Now I want first to go to the first line that says, the first column says Board of Trustees. I see now that they said 2 consecutive days. And you actually last time explained to me that the Board of Trustees normally sit every second month. Now, and when it sits, now see they sit for 2 days. Do they receive then the remuneration of 3,300 something multiplied 2? Because they're sitting for 2 days. It's then like nearly 7,000 rand they receive for those 2 days. Because I want to know, because here's a confusion of the roles. A trustee has to sit on the board and he makes decisions on the relevant documentation that's presented at the trustee's meeting. And the employees have a full-time job, 8 hours a day, to do a certain job. Now, I've seen you mention there in the one slide that they don't get the remuneration in a sense for the interaction with the communities. That's exactly the point I want to make, because when I was up there, I asked communities, how many times did the trustees have meetings with you as a community? How has it been advertised? How have you been notified? And the information that we received at that meeting was very poor. I'm disturbing the form of interaction by the trustees with the communities. And at the end of the day, I get this feeling that the people sitting there as trustees make the decision, and it's not actually what is coming from the community, because it's very few involvement with the community. And then on the remuneration of these trustees, they've received, gradually they increased the remuneration. I'm fine with that, but I'm not fine. In the year 2007, they received 1,333. Suddenly, in the year 2008, they jumped to 3,334. So they actually make themselves the decision to more than double up the remuneration as trustees. And this tariff per kilometre, in the parliament we paid R4.40 per kilometre. Now they paid here as trustees R7.20. I'm telling you, it's not acceptable. And then I'm going to go back to the last slide as far as job creation and procurement. I've noted that you said that you've done, despite the economic downturn in 2009, the Kubis Pipeline project, you still created 62 jobs. The point I want to make is that actually should be your main focus in the Northern Cape, because poverty there is at a high stake there, and that's what I'm saying in the beginning as well. Your focus should be training and job creation together, because that's the only way you can better and improve the lives of the people from those areas. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you very much. Let's take another questions from
Mr. Honorable Pandem. Yes, Mr. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. I didn't have the benefit to know what the total income of the trust is per year. I think that was handled at the previous meeting. But I would want to say that it sounds like what the trust does is get some money, it invests the money, and from the interest of that money, then they pay back to the community. That is what it sounds like, because they make investments and they get some return on that, and that's what they spend on the community. So, and what I also don't understand is the contradiction in terms of this presentation that we get. This is an organization or a trust that needs to look after the community, and yet they say when possible they will use the community. I mean, they should use the community all the time, no matter if they adhere to certain criteria or not. I mean, that's what they are there for. They should make sure that they adhere to the criteria. Otherwise, you can set the criteria as high as what you want. I mean, this is poor people. They can't have a tax clearance certificate, and they can't do certain things. I mean, you're in an old state. I drove there about 2 weeks ago, and I went to look at it. And so it's a total contradiction in terms. And then, like I said, I don't know what is the value of their total portfolio that is invested, And where is it invested, and you know, do they invest it in markets? Because they should invest it in that area, no matter if it gives the upbringing that it should be giving. It looks to me like this has become a winstbejagte. It is only there for profit, and it is not looking after the community. And this is very disturbing what I have heard here today. Why is there poverty still in that area if they are getting a lot of money to look after that? Why are those people still unhappy? You know, are these people doing their work? This is my question. Thank you.
Because of the gravity of the matter before us, I will hold on the other honorable members. Allow you to respond to these two questions, and we'll take other two, and so we go, so that you give the, you know, the benefit of the full responses to the honorable. Over to you, trustees.
Thanks, Jay. The Frank of Akbara Mare, that's a paper trail, and the content to Kennings and trustees, it was taken by the solicitors with loan funding. So that is a genoegzame bewijs gedaan.
I hear you very well. So are the other members.
because there are other members that may not follow you, can we get a complaint? In the meantime, try your English. Where you can't find an English word, throw your mother tongue. But just so that we don't ask you to repeat what you have said, if you are able. But Afrikaans is allowed. So is Isikosa, so is Isizulu. All we need to do is to make sure that we get somebody to translate. But in the meantime, I won't interpret in the meantime. But you are an honorable member. I want you to participate.
Chairperson, the committee section should have organized for us an African interpreter, because the people who are here come from an African dominant region. So I want an interpreter. I'm an honorable member, and I also want to interrogate the report. So it would be unfair for any member here to interpret.
Okay, ma'am. This is exactly what you said. I'm sure maybe my whip was thinking that you want to help in the meantime. So, committee session is going to provide. Try your English, broken as it might be. Once the interpreter is here, you will go back to your mother tongue. But where you don't have an English word, throw to us African word and we'll find a way to
help you.
Yeah, please.
Thank you. Yeah. So in terms of the CAS grant, it's the trustee's remuneration, but there will be paper trail. There will be enough evidence to state it. I just want to know from the honorable member, sir, which communities are you referring to?
Your duty here is to answer questions.
Yeah.
Don't ask honorable members.
Okay, sir, but it's a bit confusing. And if I'm not knowing which communities, then there will not be clarity on some issues. Because as we see, it says that the communities, the portfolio committee was not the main communities or the main benefited communities which this money is been using to of which their communities give grants or give bursaries or their job creation or infrastructure development of that. But in the seven main benefited communities, there is infrastructure, there is a job creation, and that trustees in their communities, they report, they are available to their communities 24 hours. And they report to that community they serve. Then we had the other communities, we amended it to allocate some funds to the other communities or other places which was not previously included in the deed under the seven benefits of ad areas, as we call it. And it's an amount of 17 communities we include. So obviously there will be a backlog between the communities we include in our budget, in our 2 years ago, along with the communities which is being served by that. They just transfer for 15 to 16 years. And the one on the provincial government, is appointed by the provincial government, and I think only one of them are government employees. The other are not government employees. Some of them are even unemployed. I think two is employed by government. And yes, they also receive remuneration. It depends on them. Sometimes they take it. The other time they leave it, and in most cases, I think it's based on the travel expenses. So, check the answers on
okay, can we help you on the community that you seem to be having a problem? We've been to the Port Nolan community.
We've been to a place called Fakem. We've been to Alexander Bay. We've been to Akhanais. We've interacted with a community called Komako. So the list goes on. Left Mountain, Soso, Plainsia. So these are the communities that we met. Now, these are the communities that we believe are part and parcel of your brief trust. This is where we picked up this information. So that member is referring directly to those interactions with those members of the community. But go on and answer the other question.
Okay, the one on the investment in property. When we, as the Board of Trustees, see that there will be, the trust will be effect, or the trust income will be effect on the new royalty bill, of even the implementation thereof. And as we have heard the last time we were here from the department, that the Diamond Fund Trust won't receive the royalties anymore. So it was, we transact, bring it under our attention, some 2 years back, and the effect that some of Transact's mine activities in the Lichtenfeld, they have a lifespan of 5 to 6 years. So as a board of trustees, we decided if we want to continue with the trust, and if we want to have an stable inflow of income to do all those things, give bursaries, do poverty relations, do job creation on a more bigger basis or increased basis, then we should have another flow of income. And that's why we amend the trust deed to make provision that we can establish a property arm for the trust. And through investment in property, that's what we thought in that time will be the best suitable way for the trust to figure its income, except from the royalties. Because once we did not receive the royalties, there will be no other income to this trust. And this trust can't do all those things we have done to those communities. We can't even then include the Forsyth communities by the chairperson, because for none of it's not a main area or main community. It is an adopted area. The same with not even Bargain, but the same with Akhenate. Komakhat is the main area, and not even claims here. See? Because according to history, Bargain, Akhenate claims it's mine towns, and the mine oversees the development and all those sort of things. In that community itself, but we adopted this Bornolov Akhenate. These are the only two areas which the chairperson mentioned, which we adopted 2 years ago. Based on that, we see that poverty and skills and to educate our children, it's not just in our seven main areas. It's all over the Makoland. On that basis, we adopted that area. But we agree, if there's not enough evidence on poverty relation of bad communities, of job creation, or some of them didn't receive bursaries, or trustees, or the board of trustees of the NDRT are not visible in that area. We agree, because according to the trustee, it's not possible for us that we can send trustees to claims here and call a community meeting or give a report back on that basis. Because we received the royalties from Transact, and claims here is not included. It was mined by the Beers, and we received nothing from the Beers. The same of Akhenate, it's mined by Black Mountain, but we received nothing from Black Mountain mine in terms of any royalties of whatsoever. So that is where we bought Greenway. It's basically for another sort of income, a stream of income through the trust. And if we can look at the when the trustees came to Cape Town, because our investment professionals is here suited, our property investment, our auditors, and even the lawyers company we use. So even if we have meetings with Transact, then it, in the sight of, instead of paying or sell or get a certain amount to stay there, we can stay in our own place, and then we recycle sort of the income between the guest house, because we pay for it, and that money goes then back to the trust shop or to the trust coffer shop, instead of from the trust to Protea Hotel. So it's from the trust to Greenway and from Greenway back. And we also make it not a B&B, but we open it up for other guests to use it to generate a more stream of income.
Other questions? I see you, Honorable Murray, you want to make an immediate follow-up.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay, I want to go back to what argument was given for the investment in Kajal. So what you say, there's not enough professional people to be used, like in property investors in the Northern Cape, that there's not sufficient attorneys in the Northern Cape, and there's not sufficient auditors in the Northern Cape. That's the reason what was given for the investment in there. It's not unacceptable. And I want the auditors to answer me, because I don't get the answers when the auditors must answer me now. I want to have the breakdown for the more than 3 million rand, according to me, what I've seen in the statements, that's been paid for trustees and accommodation and travel. So this schedule that has been given here for trustees, explain me how they've been paid, because I get the feeling that executive committees have been paid, that the finance committee, everybody's been paid that is on this schedule, because how is the 3 million being made up? I want that answer, and I want the answer of the income and the expense of this property in Cape Town. I haven't got that answer, and I want the auditors now to give me an answer, because they're required to give me that answer.
All right, just before we answer the other questions, let's allow the space for the auditor. That's why you brought them here, isn't it? Talk to us, Mr. Auditor, and also tell us why is the auditor's statement not signed by you, if this is your final statement that we were given.
With regard to signing the audited financials, there's no specific reason why we didn't sign it. I don't presume it was an oversight. We went to Springbok to finalize the financials of the trustees, which we did. There was one or two questions which they wanted us to double check, which we did. And thereafter, I presume they sent out the financials before they signed it. Subsequently, we've translated it to you guys in English, and we'll distribute signed English financials to everybody. So it has been signed and finalized. With regard to the breakdown of it.
Thank you very much for that. Are they here?
But myself and the trustees still need to sign them, because I've only received them yesterday afternoon. It's only 5 months ago.
They're not yet signed.
We'll sign them before we go to that.
Oh.
But it is fine.
All right, sir, we'll continue with the other.
With regard to the breakdown of the 3 million, I was only told about the meeting yesterday, so I didn't do a physical proper breakdown of the 3 million. We've got it. So I can send it to you, but I haven't got it on hand, unfortunately.
Follow-up question.
Follow-up, all right?
Press your...
This breakdown was asked last week already. It should be here by today. And you are still going to do it. What's the problem now?
I don't want to go to the auditor, so I assume he wasn't informed about the request, but so I don't want to give the burden to him, but 3 million rand, if the trustee sits every second month, and this is for 2-6 consecutive days, it comes to just below 7,000 rand per member. You multiply it by 11, you multiply it by the number of sittings. Now, I can't come up with the 3 million. That's why I think I'll get the breakdown next week. I would really appreciate it. But I still want the CEO to explain to me on this slide who gets
executive committee, who gets paid, who is the executive committee that gets paid, because it should be parting of the 3 million. So it's not only the trustees that get the remuneration, all these other people, because I see the administration support and marketing committee, they sit every second, they sit actually every month. Who are they? Are they getting paid? And what is the composition of that committee? Because somewhere I want to make up to 3 million. I can't get to 3 million. Even with the trustee termination, it's not even a quarter of it. So somewhere something doesn't gel for me. So I want, and then if the auditor can confirm with me, they give me next week or in the, about this property in Cape Town. I want a breakdown of the income of that property and the expenses of that property.
Can you answer that? Point of order, yes. Chairperson, I think we are making a mistake. We call the Namakwa Diamond Trust Fund here, and the auditor is from the other company. For us to ask a lot of questions to the auditor, whereas the Namakwa is here, I think it's not in order, Chair. We request to you, Chairperson, I think we have to request the auditor to go back so that we can speak with Namakwa. I thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I second that, because this report is still not signed. If we won't accept it, we won't even interrogate this report.
No, no. At the moment, I think the question of Honorable Marais was based on the slide. He was seeking clarity. Could not get joy from the CEO, and then made use of the presence of the audit of the auditors. Then let's honorable members, let's allow them to answer for now these outstanding questions. Then he will take his seat, and then we will decide on the information he's given us, which is unsigned, whether we entertain it or not. I'm appealing to you so that we just allow that space, because it's important for us to know these seemingly differences in terms of the figures that are given to us. And please just take us through those questions that were asked by Honorable. I will assume, Mr. Auditor.
Sorry,
he asked about, the first one I remember asked about the income of the trust, and the other member asked about the income and expenditure on these properties, apart from the 3 million that is unexplainable now. Can you respond to those questions?
Certainly. The property that is in question, as far as I remember, wasn't part of the last audit, the 2009 audit that they've done. So that is new figures. So that I haven't audited it in those financials as yet. So on those, I cannot actually respond. I can give you a new schedule, but with regards to the old historic information, it wasn't in there. With regards to the trustee's remuneration, I'll provide a breakdown. I wasn't informed that it was required today. I was only notified yesterday of the meeting. So, I can give it to you, but I didn't know about it before, and unfortunately. I just need to explain this quickly to you guys, with the Honourable Chair. I've actually left the auditing firm. No, I'm not with LBP anymore. I was the partner involved in those audits, so that's why they asked me to attend the meeting. The English financial statements I was provided with yesterday, it is in correspondence, it is exactly the same as Afrikaans financials. So that is why we haven't signed it as yet. So it is not, yes, it is still unsigned, but it will be signed today with the trustee at hand. So it was approved, but we can only sign it now. So with regard to the information that is required, unfortunately, I had to go back to my previous firm and get the information. I wasn't told about it before yesterday, unfortunately. So I cannot respond to all the questions.
I think for our purpose, we're satisfied for now that we don't get yes yet answers to what we've asked. Back to you, trustees. Thank you, Mr. Auditor. Back to you, trustees. Can you answer the remaining question?
Thanks, Jim. The one on Greenway 5, we have 9 beds there, and suffer from plus minus 100, 175 to 350, which the trustees pay. And we have, say, about 10 meetings which we attend here, and 10 to 12 nights which we stay there. And then there was some other guests, private guests, things which stays 2 nights. And it also brings an income. But the income until today, I think for the past 6 months, when it came fully in operation, was around 35,000 rand. And the expenditure was around 30,000 rand. That expenditure is on rates and taxes, and it's on cleaning and on security, and then there's DSTV, the monthly prescription. And then we have some cleaning of the garden and the pavement in front, so that is the garden expenditure. So that is a breakdown for the last 6 months when it, as I say, when it came fully in operation. And the one on the, I think the 3 million in terms of the remuneration of the trustees is that if it, as there was, there's a note under that slide that it is sometimes that we are not strict to that schedule, because sometimes there is a important meeting that the board should be called, or and committee which should then be scheduled. So if, for example, if that schedule make mention of 10 meetings, and in response to circumstances of our meeting, the priority of a meeting, then it can say, for instance, then it happens 2 to 3 times, then actually it will then 12 or 13 or 14 meetings. So now you take then, for example, 14 meetings, times that remuneration. And I think maybe then, that is the what happened there, then you can come in, to the 3 million expenditure in terms of remuneration of trustees. But it happens that it is not only that we stick to the scheduled or the approved scheduled meetings for the financial year, as I say. For instance, we have meeting was transact out of that schedule based on the not receipt of the royalties. And the last royalties we received from transact was in this year, March. And from there on, we didn't receive royalties, and we become a bit worried. So that needs then interaction with transact on that issue. That's one example when a meeting it become unscheduled. We call it scheduled meetings and we call it unscheduled meetings. Then it's correct. There's the executive committee. It's a meeting, and trustees who compile the executive committee, they get remuneration. There's a finance project and investment committee. And the trustees on that meeting constitute the trustees on that meeting, they get remuneration. And our committees are compiled of 5 to 6 trustees, 5 to 6 trustees on each committee. Administration, sport, and marketing is one committee. In the past, it was that you have the administration committee on its own, then you have a sport creation and marketing committee. But it becomes the expenditure on that committee, it becomes a bit too high. Then the board decides to make it one committee, and so it is not two committees, one committee. And the board itself, which is the whole of the trustees, which should every 2 months, but in this financial year particularly. There were some unscheduled board meetings also, which need the attention of a full board. for certain decisions to be taken. That's what I can answer to the Honorable Murray on that 3 million and the numeration of the committees and how the committees. So you work, as in, for instance, in one financial year, that the Finance and Process Committee have 5 meetings in one financial year, and so the other committees. Because in the trust, it is the important committee, because it's the end of the investment and the budget and the income and expense of the trust itself.
All right. Can you put your thing on?
Sorry.
Honorable members, can I see those hands again so that you have the benefit of asking questions? Honorable Kololu, your question is still not answered. What was it again? The
investment and the income for the year and the contradictory terms. Why is that area so poor?
Yes. I think the auditor failed to respond to the questions pertaining to investments because he said we did not perform audit. And I think then the trustees must then pick up that question. And I think also this question around poverty, because this is what really, you know, move this committee to enter into this process. I recognize Honorable Hololu, Honorable Paliso, Honorable Gale, Honorable Sondo, Honorable Magagule, and then we'll come back to you, Honorable Smith. But please answer that question first. The questions from Honorable Van Damme. But trustees, all of you, have got a right to speak here. If you believe that one of your colleagues has not answered all the questions, pick up, raise your hand, and answer. It's not said that we're not, you know, concentrating on the two trustees. We're looking at answers from all of you. So as and when you believe you want to intervene and answer, feel free to answer. But answer that question from Honorable Fonda. Can you press your machine there, please, madam?
The total income or the annual income from TransX in terms of royalties was up till March between 30 and 35 million. And the income is being stated in every annual report or financial statement, financial report that we've got here. So we can have a look at that. Then the total investment portfolio, we have investments in Boxburg, in the BMW building. We don't own the firm, the BMW firm, we own the building and it's been hiring out to the BMW company. And then we've got some cash as international investments with H, 60 million. And then also.
How much is invested in the BMW?
Yeah, it's two up.
200. We say for instance 41, because we use 20 million and to buy the building, and the other we take a loan from the bank. That is the amount we invest, but we looking at the value of the building, we have a 10-year lease contract of with BMW or BMW in this building, and from purchase say until now, we look at I think after expenditures, the repayment of the bond to the bank, the tax and rates, and some company there. We look at a turnover of one million, which we generate out of that lease income. So say we invest 41 million in the BMW building in Wolfsburg. Answer that question.
We invest 41 million, including 20 million rent loan, but you generate an income of about a million. You're not sure.
Yeah.
On that investment. Honorable Fatiman?
Yes, on a point of clarity, Mr. Chairman, I just would like to know, it looks like this trust has become an investment company instead of a company that's helping the community. But who are they saving this money? They are there to help the community. They must use this money for the community, not invest it and become rich and look after their own pockets. They must invest it for the community. This is the point I'm making. You shouldn't buy buildings. If you want to buy a building, you buy it for somebody and you rent it out to him and he can pay you back. Although you might not get the pool you will get in Cape Town. But those people are there, they need houses and they need upliftment. They don't need an investment in a BMW company where just the rich get richer.
Yeah, I see. I note you have your hand up, Trustee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think I just need to clarify some questions on which my colleague Mr. Basson answered on. For us, as a fact, because we're not really up to date, we're only there now for 4 months within the trust, so I think he's answering most of the questions because he's been serving for quite some time now. But on some questions answered, yeah, or specifically pertaining to the committee structures, recently the executive committee, the number of committee members was changed to 3 according to the trustees. In the past, it was up to 6-7 committee members. Then also on the administration and sport and marketing are separate committees. They are separate committees, and also their range is 7-9. According to the trustee members, we have this where we where a trustee members serve on 2 subcommittees.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Let's continue answering the other investments. You dealt with the BMW, Volkswagen, the Cape Town, and then there was also the third one. Because what we're interested in knowing is how much have you put in, how much are you getting out as a return?
Thank you, Chairperson. Should I say that do the trust of the Raadsman trustees begin to say that om die voortbestaan van die trust te verseker, om armoedeverligting te doen, om werkskepping te doen, om huise te bou, om dit te kan doen en te bereik, gaan ons dit nie kan doen as ons nie meer royalties kry nie, of genoegsame royalties kry nie. So ons
het antwoord gelewe op daai. Ons verloor hier en verband met die ander investment. Hoeveel het hulle ingebetaal en hoeveel kry hulle eind daarvan? Dat is nog hier nie klaar. Die een van die kamp en die ander een.
Die Davidian, die investment in die Lobo Precinct, wat dit basis is, dit is een ontwikkeling wat in voorinskou is in die Lobo Johannesburg. En wat sal daar gebeur daar? Hulle sal office blocks opzet en so. So ons het belê in dit omdat dit vir ons as gevolg van ons beleggingsstrategie een goeie belegging was, en weer een, daar net een doelwit om additionele inkomste vir die trust te genereer. En dis hoekom ons gesien het, dit is een goeie belegging. So dat ons kan die inkomste daaruit kan klapstaan met in royalties wat ons kry of nie sal kry om te kan doen. So, Mr. Chairperson, die derde een is die een in die Lowell in. And the dit is nog in die fase van die publieke deelname proces, environmental studies en dit goed. Maar ons het dit so beleid dat ons kan enige tyd kan ons die belegging wat ons gedoen het daar onttrek sonder dat dat ons 'n verlies sal lei op die aanvanklike belegging wat ons gedoen het in terme van 22 miljoen rand of 25 miljoen rand is korrek. So indien ons besluit om vandag te onttrek uit die belegging, ons het so 'n opsie met die beleggingsvennote of ander vennote ingebou, dan stap ons met die belegde bedrag uit sonder dat daar 'n verlies was. As ons besluit om tot die volgende fase te gaan, beteken dit dit wat ons beleg groei natuurlik, dan kan ons nog steeds weer uitgaan, maar dan het ons 'n wins gemaak, voorsitter. So dit is nog in die fase om 'n inkom of om 'n wins te genereer in van die logo. So huidiglik verdien ons 'n inkomste in die belegging in die Boksburg gebou en 5 Greenway. Ander beleggingsgeleenthede kyk ons nog na, maar omdat daar onsekerheid is in terme van die inkomste van die trust, het ons het nou eers bietjie op hout gesit. Dit is die kantoorkompleks in Springbok self in ons area wat ons na kyk en om.
Ja, ek het tot nie eens hoeveel verdien hulle op die 25 miljoen en die logo gesit. Hoeveel kry hulle daarvan? Behalve het feit dat hulle kan hulle geld terugkry enige tyd.
Ja, dit is nog nie 'n inkom nie, omdat dit is 'n projek wat in fase is voor die ontwikkeling. As ons dit erwe bekom en nou gaan dit deur 'n publieke deelname proses, 'n environmental study proses en so, om office blocks daar te vestig, alge, hotel en so. En so as ons weer gaan met die investment, dan sal die inkom genereer, maar soos wat ek gesê het, om nie geld te verloor nie. As ons enige dag wil onttrek, onttrek ons met dit wat ons beleer het. Alhoewel ons net nie 'n wins gegenereer het nie.
Jy wil jy
want dit dan weer maar af? Ja, dankie Chairperson. Chairperson, die asset managers are here, Quantaba. I think they can give us more the exact figures on income. If they are being allowed.
What are we doing this, honorable members? Let's ask this question. You note them down, we pray for tea, you work out the answers. When we come back from tea, you give us the answers. Let's give honorable Honor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I did not understand any of the response from Mr. Basson. But not a problem. I'll even appreciate if I can get a written response on the response, because I'd love to know if on the investment. I see that we are investing heavily on property, and even if in future they are going to contemplate listing on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, they must tell us as well. We would be interested to know how much are they investing in that exchange. Let me just ask a few questions, Chair, and thank CEO for the presentation. There was a question that I asked previously, and I did not see it here. That is on the assisting by the trust fund on the acquiring of ID documents and passports and all that. I saw that they also help refugees to acquire those documents. I'll be interested to know on the response on that one. And also, on the very investment, I just wanted to check as to who decides. Because I see that this trust fund operates almost like a municipality, and they've got IDP, Now, I want to know as to who decides. Is it the trustees themselves who decide as to where whether to invest or not to invest? Do they involve the community there when deciding whether to invest in BMW or Mercedes-Benz or whatever? Do they do that? That would be the first one. The second one will be on the job creation. This 3 million rand that was spent on the empowerment of 4 contractors, which eventually created about 8 jobs. I just wanted to check those 8 jobs, if those jobs were sustainable, or are those people, those 80 people that were employed there, are they still working, or maybe they were just Dara boys for that time, and then their jobs are no longer there? That would be the second one. The last one, Chair, would be on the donations. On the responses there, I saw that there are donations to orphanages, school, sports, cultural programs, career orientation, by the trust. Am I right? Now, my problem, Chair, is that I don't understand why should they be donations from the trust to the community when that money from the trust actually belongs to the community? Why should they donate to the orphanages? Why should they, you know? Because that money is supposed to work exactly that. That would be my 3 questions for now. I'll come maybe with the second one. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honorable Magabule.
Yeah, my question, I don't know, I feel for them. My question, I just want to know about the trust, not who's the chairperson of the trust. And then another thing, there is a unit. I want to ask about the unit in the town. And another thing, Chairperson, I was want to ask about the financial report, and of which is front of me, doesn't sign. And then I think we have to, Chairperson, after this, I spoke with him that we have to take a serious recommendation, and then and see what we're going to do. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Palliser. Chairperson, this is a concern, and it's a big concern, and it's a worrying factor. My first worry is we don't invest in our own province, in our own impoverished district, Namakwa. That district is very vast. And there is abject poverty. That the investment doesn't make sense. My first question is, was this investment upfront consulted with those communities who we hear here qualify for the trust fund? According to my knowledge, I was part and parcel of the oversight. There were communities in Sanders from the surrounding areas in that community hall. They drove themselves when they heard the portfolio committees in the area. They drove themselves to attend in the Sandra community meeting. So did the others in the other areas. People of Bella were there in Akhane because they are working in Akhane. That's the clarity that I want to give the question that was asked by Honorable Marais. The explanation of the whole auditor thing is not giving us any clarity as portfolio committee members. to my knowledge, from where I'm sitting, it was the right thing for us to have the previous auditor and the current one. Because we would want to see, according to this slide, one would like to seek, and according to the answer already from Mr. Basson, we would like to seek all auditors' records from the start where auditors have started to audit the Namakwalan Sediaman Fund Trust. That's the first one. The second one, because I'm not going to go through this audit report that is not signed, I'm not going to waste my time with this audited report. Not now. Because this will be, it's a flawed process that we are running now here in Chairperson. It's a waste of time that we are doing here. Because we still don't have the information that the portfolio was looking for. The trust was here last week. The trust was requested to come back with full information. As where I am sitting, we still don't have information and the answer that we are looking for. So the bank account of the investment should also be given to the portfolio committee. Because we want to see the insight of interest, I want to align myself with Honorable Kholo, that we have to see on a report so that we can study the report ourselves. So that it can have a very healthy interaction with the trust. Knowingly that we did study the report so that we are going to advise and ask relevant questions. Now, we are just asking questions, but we haven't got full information in front of us. I would also want to know, do we have this in investment on paper with the full bank account, interest, everything? And I would also want to know, what is the criteria of the selection of these opportunities? That does not suit the Northern Cape, with royalties of the Northern Cape, of the soil of the Northern Cape, of the soil of Namakwa. And what is PBA? I want this acronym. We are dealing with acronyms every day and many acronyms. So PBA must be explained to us. And where are the partners based of the NDFT? Because they are doing business in Cape Town. Are the partners based in Cape Town? Are these service providers based in Cape Town? Where, who benefits? According to us, the solely beneficiaries must be in the Northern Cape. To be specific, in Namakwa. And where I'm sitting and what I'm reading, that region is not a solely 100% beneficiary. The poorest of the poor is selectively accommodated as if I'm doing a favor to the community. And to my knowledge, it is their right because it is their royalties of their soil. Chairperson, to where I'm sitting, I hear you say that we must go back for tea and we must still wait for answers. Which answers are we going to still get here? To my knowledge, Chairperson, there is no answer. Because even the auditor failed to give us an enlightened answer. We are just going to have to rubber stamp a very wrongdoing here, not benefiting really our poorest of the poor. I'm direct from that district. in the Northern Cape, direct from that district. What I want to say is that really, Chairperson, the trust can rather go back. The answer that we're given here is that I'm still going to go back, I'm going to verify, I can provide the answer. That's not enough. We can't depend, we've got many work to do and many portfolio committees. We can't deal every week with the very same parastatals not bringing us the information members are looking for. These are honorable members of the highest office in the country. And here we are playing dilly dice games. To where I'm sitting, I'm disturbed by investment. I'm disturbed to hear that our province doesn't have capacity. I'm disturbed. Our province doesn't have hospitals. Our province doesn't have buildings to be invested in. I'm disturbed. To where I'm sitting, what I'm seeing, I assume that this direction the trust is going to be an investment company. Not serving the real criteria of the trust deed. How much I ask is the trust deed changed according to what we need to do as trustee members or how we want the trust to go, and are we really consulting with the real communities? Do the communities understand the trust? Can they make a meaningful input to the clause of the trust? Or is the trust deed speaking a language that the people on the ground does not understand? Because I'm puzzled where I'm sitting. What more people who are not working every day with legislation? Ever then the trust must go back. I'm not even apologetic about that. Because I'm disturbed by this investment, not in our own region, not in our own province. I'm disturbed.
Thank you, Honorable Gele. Then the last person was Honorable Sonjo. Oh, yeah, Honorable Maraya.
It's even worse, her person, when the books are signed.
So sorry, let me introduce the interpreter. Introduce yourself, sir.
Hi, I'm Archie Gruner from Language Services, and I interpret from English to Afrikaans and Afrikaans to English.
Thank you very much. You will do assistance to us most when people speak in other language other than English, and then you will help us to translate into English. So you will feel free to speak in your mother tongue. Over to you.
Our thing happens even when. When people will come in and say the books were signed yesterday, and they are here today, and they knew they were going to be here today, but the books were signed yesterday. It's really a joke. If it is not a joke, it's playing with people. Okay, I mean, it's a pity I haven't been to Kimberley. I don't know what is spelling.
Namakwa.
I won't be there, not in the loop. Okay, Pella. Yeah, Pella. It looks like they're paying a lot of attention to Pella. That's one example. In Pella, in 2000, they built ablution facilities, cost 144,000. 202. They spent a million on tar roads. 1999, the same library, 600,000. 1998, something else. 1990, I just want to know what's going on in Pella, yes. Because most of the money, every year they do a project in Pella. And I also want to know, do you have a funeral parlor? Maybe an investment on a funeral parlor, because you are saying you are helping financing funerals. Or does it mean that when a person dies, they report it to you, and you go and bury that person, whoever dies, and you don't?
we've agreed that you would note all these questions. When we come back from tea, you will answer all of them. So for now, members are going to direct questions to you, but indeed, I'm not sure whether you wanted an answer now on that question of, okay. All right, continue, please. Thank you very much. Honorable Soto.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm sitting here listening to a presentation that seems to be coming from a sub-council. I'm looking at the overall purpose of the existence of this fund trust to improve the quality of life of the inhabitants in its beneficiary area by enhancing social, cultural, and economic wellbeing. Yet, I have this presentation which, Mrs. Williams, I would not be scared to say is too good to be true. This presentation, the content of this presentation is too good to be true. I'm asking myself, where do you get all the capacity to engage on these activities that are written here? For an example, total contribution to things like contribution to transport costs to enable visitation to prisoners. How many prisons are there in the West, in the Northern Cape, in Namapa in particular? Now, all that host of activities that you're outlining and others, you are saying, the gentleman over there was saying, these communities that we went to are just peripheral communities that are not dealing within the ambit of the benefits that you are offering to the Namakwa people. Now, the question would be, why are these communities not listed? In the same way, because you are saying they are not your beneficiary communities, they are just peripheral communities. And I find it strange, because when you say that, you are doing exactly the same thing that is being done by the mining companies in the Northern Cape. Communities have lost hope in all those mining companies, and they thought that these trusts that were created there were going to be an answer to the poverty alleviation problem that they have. It seems that even the trust are drifting away with resources that were meant to benefit the people of Namakwa. My question, first question, would be, why was PricewaterhouseCoopers changed as an auditor, a senior auditor? Because I do not believe you are correct in the reason that you are giving. You are saying, in terms of the recommendations made by the panel that was appointed by Comrade Trevor Manuel, the company should be replaced every 5 years. But PricewaterhouseCoopers worked for you for, I think, 3 or 4 years, not 5 years. Now, one would want to get a reason why were they replaced. The second one would be, in terms of the audit opinion, what did you do to address the weaknesses that were identified in the audit opinion, whether by PricewaterhouseCoopers or by LDP? And what measures have you put in place so that you don't, or in order to prevent future qualifications in your in your statement? I'm asking these questions, Chairperson, understanding that I must be honest, I still have to see what is contained here. I still have to say, as a person who was from that area, I still have to go to this community that is so advantaged to get these benefits from the past. I've got a lot of questions, Chairperson, but in the trust of what that honorable member said, I think we need to look at how do we verify all this information and align the trust to its main overall of purpose of its existence if we want those people to benefit from this trust. Otherwise, really, we will go in circles asking questions, getting at times half answers, and at times totally no answers. We just need to look at what is it that we need to do to verify this information. For an example, in Kubus, the clinic is closed in Kubus. Yet this trust is building clinics and furnishing materials to clinics. And Kubus people are complaining, who come as a clinic to the market? Now, with that, Chairperson, I want to hold it there with all these questions that I have. But, you know, I cannot go on because really what is contained here needs to be verified at one point or another. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The last questions from Honorable Murray.
Thank you, sir.
Chairperson, before Honorable Murray. The question that was not answered in the presentation, which municipality did you buy vehicles for? We want to know that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want the following answers that have been noted down by the two representatives from the province here across the table. I want them to answer this one now, because I didn't get a clear answer. My question asked first when we start the project. There's four representatives from the province, and it's been stated. The trust accommodates four provincial representatives on the board, amongst others to ensure open channels of communication with all tiers of government. So it was answered that two people is from the government, two some. I want to know exactly who is the four people and from what departments they are. Number one. Number two. Answer me in that following order. Whom of them are full-time employees of the province, because they can't get remuneration as a trustee member if they're full-time employees of the government. They could be paid transport, I agree, but not remuneration. I want that answer. Then I want to come back to the investment in the property in Cape Town, and I won't let go on that. I speak it now today, clearly here. I won't let go on that. Your income is 35,000 rand. Your expenditure is 30,000 rand. So your income is 5,000 rand if you deduct the expenditure. So what is your return of investment? Then you ordered to answer me that. Your return of investment on this property. So if I take 5,000 rand on your initial capital, what is your return investment on this? I get this feeling that this property in Cape Town is now actually accommodation for the trustees. You know, the trustees, if they look to the benefit of the people of the Northern Cape, the lawyers, the auditors, and the investment company or the advisors should all be from Kimberley, not from Cape Town. Sorry, it's unacceptable. But then these people have been flung in as trustees, they get paid salaries as trustees to come to Cape Town. Why not if those three people, the lawyers and the auditors and the investment company, can fly one person up there? I'm sure it's less cost than flying them down. So this is a very bad investment, and the way it's been done is also bad. If The trustees, as a member has told me, or trustee member has told me, that the trustee can sit, a member can sit on three of these committees. So the member or trustee member can have sit in a month on three and 2 days on the board. So it's 6 multiplied by 3,000. So there's an income of more than 20,000 rand on a monthly basis as from a trustee. I rather employ more employees that can work for me 22 working days in a month, and they can represent the reports then to the trustees that only have to come in and sit in 2 days. The whole thing is not structured right here. I get this feeling that the trustees more and more create meetings, they get more sitting fees, and this is a spiral of income for the trustees. It is done in a very bad manner. And I'm not going to go on this. I'm telling you today, the trustees can know what I'm saying here. I won't let go on this, because it is wrong the way this thing is being run. Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, honourable members, let's take a 5-10 minute tea break. We come back, we receive the answers, then we take a view on the matter. Are there any other members outside so that they must come in? We resume our meeting. We are going to give you short time because we want you to be precise in your response to questions. Questions that you can't answer, just tell us that you can't answer this. Don't try to manufacture an answer on the spot. Like the gentleman here, Mr. Pasol, was saying maybe sometimes you receive about, let's say you invest this. You know, when you are before this August house, you don't give answers that are uncertain. Because as we are recording, this means this is an official platform. So we don't want to put you in a situation where you have to manufacture answers. If you don't have an answer, say it, so that we can then agree with you on how would you answer, like the auditor who said, I'm going to forward the information in writing to answer to a particular question. So that's why we will give you very few minutes for you to answer. Most of the questions are related. So we respond to those questions, and then from there, we will take our decision as the committee. Would you want to go first, madam? Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to respond on the question with regard to the provincial trustee.
Remember now that, we now have an interpreter. Whoever wants to speak in Afrikaans, feel free.
Thank you, Chair. We are three provincial trustees, Van den Heever, Kibulu and Lena, who were nominated by the Premier of the Northern Cape Province, Ms. Hazel Jenkins. The fourth provincial premier, provincial trustee, Mr. Losper, was nominated by the former premier of the Northern Cape Province, Ms. Tepoa Peters. Currently, there is a situation regarding Mr. Losper, who was not nominated by the current Premier of the Northern Cape. The two provincial trustees, Van den Heever and Lena, are employees.
You say the government, Northern Cape government, has got 4 seats in the trust. The Premier is nominated 3. Who nominated the 4th person?
Okay, let me explain again, Honorable Chairperson. The Premier of the Northern Cape Province, Ms. Hazel Jenkins, nominated Van den Heever, Kibulu Lena, and Mr. Visser to serve as provincial trustees. Mr. Losper was nominated by the former Premier of the Northern Cape, Mr. Poa Peters. Currently, there is a dispute surrounding Mr. Losper as a trustee serving for the Northern Cape Provincial Government,
because he was not nominated by the current premier. And with this issue as a debate, and he also has his legal advice on this matter, because according to the trust deed, the premier, the founder, can only nominate but not withdraw. So there is this issue with Mr. Lotso, which I cannot fully explain myself now. But the three were nominated.
Which section in your trust deed that says that? You've got your trust deed here. Because this is an anomalous situation. Four representatives are supposed to come from the Northern Cape provincial government. And you say there's one person who apparently has nominated himself.
Previous
premier. But now the previous premier only nominated one person. Didn't she nominate as well four? What happened?
The previous premier nominated four people, and she nominated four people, and according to a certain correspondence letter, she withdrew all of them. That was the correspondence we saw. Then this current premier nominated four other people with these names. Vandeneever, Kibido, Lena, and Pisser. But then we had the situation where Mr. Losper felt that he was already nominated and we were not within the trust part of the board at that stage when he was by the Master of the High Court. So currently there is a dispute within the trust with regards to Mr. Losper, who is serving as a provincial trustee but is not one of the four names nominated by the current Premier of the Northern Cape.
What section of your trust is that says the founder can only nominate but cannot withdraw?
Okay. Article 10.
10 what? What subsection? Ten talks about the quorum and the number of trustees. It says there shall be no less than 5, but no more than 20. And then it goes on and on. The first trustee shall be 6. It talks about the question of the trustees who will, as soon as practical, appointed institution, executive head, and so forth. This is just the governance structure, the formation. What section says if you are nominated by the premier, you cannot be withdrawn?
Sorry, honourable member, 10.10. Section 10.10.
10.10. Resignation. 10.10 talks to resignation.
Honourable member, can we come back to this so that we can just get out of the...
Because 10.10 is heading, it's resignation, it's not withdrawal. Here it talks about, when you were put together as trustees, the first tranche of trustees must retire after so many periods, and the second tranche must retire until all of you have retired from the original trustees. Because that's the question that I was going to come to. What is the service, the length of service of trustees? Because in terms of this, you all retire and be re-elected. So where's this 10 what?
Mr. Basson is going to look for it.
Okay, answer the other.
Okay. Then, from the four provincial trustees, Van den Heuver and Lena are employed, respectively by the Northern Cape Provincial Treasury, as well as the Department of Public Works, Roads and Public Works. Now, with regards to the two, Van den Heuver and Lena, they requested permission from the HOD of their respective departments to serve as trustees on the board of the NDFT, which indicated from the letter that I got the permission. If his permission was granted to serve, to serve as a trustee and to perform remunerative work. That was the condition. And that letter that we got was signed by both the HOD granting the position as well as the NEC. So on the days, and I think I need to say that, when we have trust activities, we take leave. We complete leave forms to be in Cape Town. I'm on leave now to be in Cape Town. Last week we were on leave. Then also, the chairperson of the trust is Mr. Mervyn Kutter, who is a trustee for the Lelyfontein main area.
Finish
from the
side. But it says here in the front of the membership of the trustee, it says Mr. M. F. Kutter is from Concordia.
Can I answer? Excuse me, honorable member. We have two Mr. M. Kutters serving on the trust. I don't know the exact initials. Mr. M.F. Kutcher is from Concordia, and Mr. M.J., Mr. M. Kutcher is from Lelyfontein.
The W.J. Kutcher is Richterspel, Suid-Leekertum, Lekkertum.
Yes, we have three Mr. Kutchers on the trust, honorable member.
Okay.
And with regards to the provincial trustees, it is the prerogative of the premier, you know, to nominate her provincial trustees. Those are my answers.
Okay.
Let's
move up. Yes,
follow-up question is about Mr. Lotfa. When I ask this question, which you think you are going to ask now? I asked it last time. What is the term of a board member? And I was told five. And they even said, if you have elections, do you re-elect them? And I expected an answer that today. I don't know. It looks like Mr. Lofa now is about 10 years. If he was nominated or elected by Premier Peter, she has a term here, which is 5 years. Next, she was here last term, Peter.
No, she joined us in
2009. Okay.
She was the Premier.
She was the Premier. I thought she was the Premier. But I'd like to know how many years has Mr. Lofa served as a board member, please.
Follow up again on Albumare, and then you have a follow up on Albumateva, all right? All right, all right, on Albumare.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to go back to some of the trustees have been elected by their various communities. I think it's a prerogative of the Premier to appoint four people. So if there's a new Premier coming in, then he or she appoints another four people, and then the old ones must go off. They're not elected, they're appointed. There's a difference between the two. And what I'm saying now is not personally to anybody. I want to lay down the principle here. The principle I'm talking about, not you personally. If you're being appointed by the Premier to represent the government, then you're an employee of the government. You get a full paid salary. So your first instance, you are an employee of the government. But I will take it to the National Treasury in this regard. The HOD can't write a letter and say, no, sorry, you can have additional income. Because if you're an employee, you earn like 30,000 rand a month. Now for one day, you sit as a trustee, you get 3,334 rand. It's not acceptable. What they could do, they will grant you leave because you present the government there as a trustee, but you don't get paid. So you can go that day, you can do your job, and you can be remunerated for your, and I'm talking about the principal now, you're remunerated for your transport as kilometers is concerned. So this is not right.
I think that jurisdiction is just lying with the HOD. So we must actually follow this now up with the national department. I will go to two ministers and I will go to Treasury, because this is an unauthorized expenditure. It is not in line with government principles. So, and then so this other one, the Fister, if he was appointed by the current premier, then he should be, I don't know him, I don't know anybody, so he should be on a philosopher, should be off. I don't know philosopher either. So the rule states, they're not elected, they're appointed by the premier. So if there's a new premier, the new four is on and the old four is off. That is how it works. Unless the new premier included one of the old ones in his nomination of the new four he wants to be there, then it's fine. But it seems it's not that way. So that's a point I want to make, sir.
Can we come back to you, sir, which clause in your trust deed? Because, you know, my reading of this trust deed does not talk to the reasons that you are advancing for Mr. Lospa refusing to relinquish his position here. Oh, sorry, I forgot.
Thank you, Chairperson. If I recall very well, that is your last week, once you gave us a presentation, she said she's a founder. Probably she has more than 10 of them. Most of them, they got more than the term they've been written in there.
Honourable Chair, I would like to answer the question about the term of the trustees. They, in the past, the trustees have been elected for a term of 3 years. They had an amendment to the trust deed or the deed of trust where the term has been that were in Verlengers now, 5 years, extended. And Mr. Losper is now in say the other term. No, it was for 3 years now.
Can you translate the Gulanga say, you know, when you're lost? When you're lost, but it's funny, you
He's there from 1998.
How many years from the... You see, we're asking this question because who has got an issue? Because you as trustees are bound by the deed to appoint the trustees nominated by the premier. Who has raised the dispute? Is it you as trustees? Because Lospa cannot take decision on himself in the trust. He doesn't appoint himself to start with. He doesn't have to ratify himself. Is it you as trustees? Who has got this issue? Because here, in terms of Rule 10.7, which I think is what we are going to quote, it's clear that trustees are appointed in succession of trustees who retire as follows. First, it says the same procedure is prescribed for the appointment of trustees as representative of rural areas is followed where his representative is retired, in terms of those 3 years from the beginning and 5 years as subject to re-election, of course. Now here it says again in B, the remaining trustees are bound to be appoint persons who are nominated by the founder. The definition of the founder is the government. So you are bound in terms of your own deed to appoint those nominated by the founder. And it says here, in succession of any of the first trustees in bracket and their successors, who had been nominated by the founder and who retire or become incapacitated. I'm still looking for this clause that says Mr. Losper, because he was appointed by the Premier and therefore the Premier has got no right to recall. Can you show us in your trust deed, but also tell us who is raising the dispute? Is it yourselves as the trustees, and if you are raising a dispute on the long serving Mr. Losper, why? On what basis? Yes, madam?
Honorable Chair, I found it is under 10.11.1.
So that's where I was reading?
Yeah.
So my reading and your reading is not the same.
It is the same. And
what does it say? Read it from
your side. Your blijvende trustees is verplicht om personen benoemd door die oprichter aan te stel.
This is what it says in Engels is obedient. Now, onze vraag is, who is raising the dispute? Is it you as the trustees regarding Mr. Losper? Or is it Mr. Losper himself? Because here it says the Premier nominates, and you as the trustees are bound to appoint the nominees of the Premier.
Sorry? So if the Premier appoints you, the whole firm as well?
Absolutely. So, CEO, can you answer us on this?
Die
vorige premier het vir meneer Losper aangestel en daarna het sy weer vir die ander drie wat sy benoem het, het sy onttrek en daarna was daar weer...
Hoekom drie? Hoekom
net drie? Sy die redes daarvoor aangevoer nie. En toe die nuwe premier gekom en weer trustees benoem, vier benoem. En die trustakte, ons het op die raad het een regsopinie oor dit gekry, en dit gaan daar oor dat die raad moet een besluit neem oor die onttrekking van meneer Losper. Die raad van trustees moet een besluit daarvoor neem.
The former premier appointed Mr. Losper and then withdrew three of the others, and according to the lady, no reason was given. The new premier appointed four trustees. With this trustee, then the board sought legal opinion about this, and now they have to decide about the withdrawal.
See, what we're asking, I see you. See, what we're asking is your trust deed itself. This clause, I'm happy that it reads the same as what you have there. It directs you. It doesn't say you must get a legal opinion. It doesn't say you must question the nomination of the Premier. All it says is you are bound. English word bound. It means you are forced. You are forced to appoint. Now, why this legal opinion? And from where? Is it your lawyer sitting here who gave you the legal opinion? Is he here? Hey? Is he gone now? It's a pity. Because who would want to know? Who would want to know? Honorable Marie, Honorable Soto?
Okay. So if let's do a test of effectiveness as well. What is the date that the legal advised the trustee to make a decision? That date? How long time has been lapsed now for the trustee to make a decision, yes or no?
Can
we pay
the time period?
Dit is nie seker nie, want die time, ek kan nie meer onthou nie, maar as ons kan sê, want ons het, dit is nie die enigste, ons het verskeie legal opinions gekry. Toe die huidige premier haar vier verteenwoordigers aanwys aan die raad van trustees om hulle te appoint, het ons as raad die situasie bespreek en meneer Losberg so ingelig. Meneer Losberg het dan gesê dat hy sal dan dispuut verklaar, want die akte sê om die trustee te vervang, moet hy oor 'n sekere ouderdom wees, hy moet skuldig wees aan corruption, of hy moet geestes verklaar word, en volgens hom is daar nie een van die goed, aandien ons dit nie as 'n raad kan bewys nie, want die vorige premier het 4 aangewys, waarvan hy deel was van die 4, sy 3 onttrek, en volgens hom het sy nie hom onttrek nie, so sy aanwysing is geldig, en toe ons begin legal opinions ingekry hoe om dit te hanteer, en die akte was ook die derde wysiging van die akte, klausule 3.10, het ons probeer om het aan te spreek, omdat die verwyste klausule, die eerste trans, dit is nie specifiek nie, die trans dit homself is soms verwarrend, hoe moet jy die goed verklaar, of hoe moet jy dit verstaan, so dit kan nou al sê jaar en 6 maand of 2 jaar die tydsverloop wees tussen die verskillende regsopinies oor die spesifieke saak self.
The gentleman is unsure about the time period, and they're not sure exactly when they sought legal opinion first. The former premier appointed 4 people. The present premier appointed 4 people. The board informed Mr. Losper about this, the fact that he'll have to be withdrawn, and he said he'll declare a dispute because, according to what is stated in the deed, there are certain conditions attached to him being part of it, and only if these conditions are breached can he be withdrawn. And the board will have to prove that, because the former premier recalled 3 of the people that she appointed, but not him. Then the gentleman continued here with clause 3.10, which the board considered in looking at the case of Mr. Lossel, but he says that they sought legal opinions different times, and they can be as much as 1 year, 6 months between the periods that they sought legal opinion.
Honorable Santo, and let's give the last chance to Honorable Marais, and then thereafter we answer the question of Honorable Matebe on the term of office of the CEO.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I don't think we should broaden this question. The question is specific. When the founder nominates, the board appoints, and the number that is given to the founder by the deed is 4. Now, when the 4 has been nominated by the founder, the board was compelled to appoint. Whoever is not amongst the 4 falls away. No other scrutiny of the deed of trust or whatever. That's what it says. And therefore, whatever legal opinion that was sought was in contravention of the very same deed of trust that you claim is governing you. Now, why do you have 5 now from the founders? The 4 and the 1 who refuses to resign. Now, how do you explain that state of affairs? Legal opinion after legal opinion, wasteful expenditure.
What do we do about that?
Chairperson, it's quite clear to me where the new premier appoints another four, that's the new four. So I will keep the trustees responsible and they are actually accountable for all the expenses that's been paid for the last period to Mr. Lobster since the premier appointed a new four. Every money that's been paid out to Mr. Lobster, I keep the current trustees. They are accountable for that money. So if there's a lawsuit, they're going to pay. Not that money from the trust or anything, that's in a personal capacity. The CEO only follow instructions of the decisions that have been taken by the various trustees. So the responsibility lies with the trustees. It's quite clear. So I request now, from the 22nd until the 26th of November, that's in 2 weeks' time, we'll be in Kimberley. Can you please arrange an appointment with the Premier? And I'd also like to be the MEC for local government can be present, because I have something in this document that I want to ask some questions to the MEC for local government as well. But this thing must be clarified very soon. The state of affairs is unacceptable, and the current trustees, from long ago, in like 18 months, they could have made the decision already that Mr. Fisher is now appointed by the new Premier. He should be on, and Mr. Lasper is off, and that's it. And then Mr. Lasper can go to court on his part and pay for that cost himself, if he wants to remain. Thank you, sir.
I think, trustees, I'm happy that there are other people who are raising their hands. I want all this clarified, you know. When you are put in this position, you are put in a position of trust, as the term goes. In terms of law, you have what is called fiduciary. Current law stipulates that if you were erroneous in taking decisions, you can be held personally liable. That's why Honorable Murray is raising this matter. Whoever is advising you legally, you also must apply your mind on this matter. Because at the end, when you agree to serve in that position of trust, there are laws beyond your deed that bind you. That's why we called you here. Because your trust is just one piece of document from the Master of Court. But there are other laws passed by this Parliament that govern your activities. So submission is basically sending this message to you. In terms of your deeds, quite clearly, as honorable members have been saying, you had no reason to seek legal opinion. In the first instance, Mr. Rosper came to the trust through the founder. It's not your business who the founder nominates. Yours, in terms of this clause, it even says you appoint those trustees and their successors, which means the founder can change a trust. Out of the four, the founder can, in the middle of the term, change two of those trustees. It's not your business to argue with the founder. You act on the basis of what the founder has decided, which is because it's legal. Because in terms of your deed, the founder has got that right. It's the same thing with the communities. For instance, if a trustee mid-term, communities are not happy. What do you do? Do you keep that trustee, even though the communities are raising serious issues with you about that trustee? Surely, you subject that trustee to the process of election, because that trustee is representing the community, not himself. So if the community is not happy, that community has got a right to say, we want another trustee, not this one. So we're raising these things with you. I don't know what training have you received, at the inception of this trust, but as you go on, you also should be aware of the responsibilities that are imposed on you in terms of at least the deed itself. I see your hand is up, sir. Please take the floor.
Baie dankie, maar ek hoor dat ek dink net van met al ons moet net baie help van die komitee ons eindelijk ook grafisch kan voorzien. Omdat die last per kwestie die
juridische verstand van onze leken wat betreft de dag. En wat betreft de specifieke aangelegenheid, is een kwestie van waar hij volgens mij heel gemakkelijk geraakt heeft. Het is nadat hij geassommeerbaar deert die meester. Nou, wat is het van dat jij kan geassommeerd deert die meester? Dan is die vraagpunt van wat er powers en die kansen. En onze benadering was geweest van dat alleen die founder kan dan zo'n kwestie aanspreken en niet die kansen. Het is gevolgelijk daarvan omdat ons gehoord bij het zetje kon ik kom. Omdat hij reeds in die meester gaat zo meer was en dat ons eigenlijk niet bij power zijn. Om die meester te besluiten, is de kwestie. Maar dat is niet waarom. Zo is net voor Terry lijkt het naar de tafel brengen. En zal willen vragen dat hij ons eigenlijk moet helpen of advies moet geven. Ten opzichte van wat het meester komt, hoe het kindje. Dank u.
Thank you, Chairperson. It would help us if the committee can give us some advice because we are laypersons as far as the law is concerned. We have a problem with the assimilation or the appointment by the master, and we don't exactly know how to deal with the matter. And that is why I am just mentioning this as a point of clarity, and we are asking for help from you to see how we can deal with this matter.
Let me do just that, Honorable Member. Honorable Maniho.
Dank u, voorzitter. Ik wil direct naar die trustee-lid te vragen. Wie heeft gecorrespondeerd met die meester om voor meneer Losper te laten assimileren? Want die meester van die Hoge Rechtshof zal niet zomaar zelf automatisch uit zijn eigen uit voor meneer Losper assimileren. Iemand heeft gecorrespondeerd met die meester, zodat die meester kan assimileren. Die meester doet het niet vanzelf spreken. Dank u, chef.
When was this done? Sorry.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to know directly from the trust members, the members here, who actually corresponded with the master, because the master won't make a decision about Mr. Losper's appointment on his own. Somebody must have approached him, and that is the answer that I'm seeking from you. Who approached the master?
Honorable members, I think... Sorry, sir.
Het is zo van dat het is vanaf die raad naar die minister toe geconsulteerd. Wat basis daar gebeurt is van op daar staat die mensen de ongelukkige snikker datums noemen uit de kopie. Is dat na aanleiding van het ACPC mag je niet minder als 5 weer op die voortbestaan van die trusten. Dus we zitten in de richting dat bij een van die termijnen van andere trustees vervallen waar ons toe een besluit moest nemen om dat van die RP, de termijnen was toch niet bespreken en was dan geconsulteerd met die minister. Hij heeft aangezegd, naar aanleiding van de acte, dat ons nog bij macht is om zo'n collega te functioneren en dat ons naar aanleiding van de die nodige namen moet indienen, zodat die assumering moet plaatsvinden. Zodat de baas hier met die reden van hoe, los maar omdat hij niet met de foto op hij daarin teruggetrekt was, die naam aangediend was, om geassumeerd te worden en dat die brief er volledig moest.
Chairperson, the board consulted with the master. According to the deed, there must not be less than 5 trust members for the trust to continue to exist. And for us to continue to function as a board, we approached the master to find out how to handle the situation. And because Mr. Losper was not withdrawn initially, that is how Mr. Losper's name continued. As one of the trustees.
Okay. Let's give you the advice as the trustees, specific on this issue. Upon receiving that letter from the Premier, which I think you now have received, hence you have this other tree. You need to appoint this fourth person contained in that letter from the Premier. If Mr. Lospa has got an issue, he himself must approach the court. You will do that on the basis of Clause 10.11. 10.11b is clear for you as trustees, because it says the remaining trustees are bound, which means whoever trustees are there, are bound to appoint persons who are nominated by the founder in succession. You must underline this. In succession of any of the first trustees. In brackets, and their successors, which means it traces it back from the stage when you were established as a trust. And it takes into account that there are those stipulations of 3 years, and you amended the trust to 5 years. So trustees are supposed to retire at particular intervals, but also available for re-election. Now, then this clause is taking that into account. And therefore, that's why it says, in succession of any of the first trustees, and who had been nominated by the founder and who retired or became incapacitated, right? Now, this clause is quite clear. You don't have to get, legal opinion. All you do is to approach the Master of Court, you cite this clause, you give the Master of Court that letter, which came from the Premier, for the Master of Court to appoint the people appointed by the Premier in terms of this trustee. You notify Mr. Lospa accordingly. And if Mr. Lospa has got an issue, because the clause is referring to in terms of a dispute, once the Premier has appointed other people, he is no longer a trustee. He doesn't have standing in terms of him invoking that clause that refers to a dispute. Even that dispute is clear. The procedure there is that once there is a dispute which is invoked by a trustee, there must be an arbitration process. And it says the decision of the arbitrator is final. So you don't have also to take long, long, long periods on matters like this. But for now, you take straight what is in here, implement what the Premier has instructed you in terms of the trust deed, and if Mr. Lospa has got a problem, he will take you to court, but then he must take the Premier to court, because he's not there through himself or through the community. He's there serving at the pleasure of the Premier. It's like us here. I'm serving here at the invitation of the ANC. One day when the ANC decides that I'm no longer fit for purpose, for a duty, they will recall me. They will say to the Speaker, we're taking this one off, we're putting this one on. The Speaker of Parliament cannot ask the ANC why and what procedures have you followed and all of that. If I have an issue, I'll take it up with the ANC. So you as the trustees, you are following only this. That's why, when was it last week, or two days ago, the President announced a change in cabinet. Those people were expected to serve for 5 years. But then on the basis of what he saw, he decided that they are serving at my pleasure, at my invitation, and I'm changing them. So I'm saying, therefore, as an advice to you as trustees, so that you cover yourself. Remember the fiduciary duty. Remember the personal responsibility to you as trustees. That therefore, you simply implement this, and then you get out of spending money on legal matters without a good cause. The second advice that we would want to give you is that the answer that you have given us. Oh, by the way, let's first hear the CEO's response on the question of the term of CEO, so that we can move to a particular direction now. I hope that you follow the suggestion we're giving you.
First,
Stein, die vorige CEO, as gevolg van rationalisatie uit die trustheid is, het ek vir die tyd waargeneem as CEO en toe het later aangestel en die trust af te sê dat wanneer die CEO aangesteld word, dan word die persoon ipso facto geregistreer as een trustee. So, dit is my positie.
As far as the term of CEO goes, of the present CEO, she was appointed in 1995 at the trust. The former as head of education and training. Yes, the former CEO left the trust because of rationalization. And according to the trust deed, as soon as you are appointed as a CEO, you ipso facto you become a trustee.
Okay, so now in the trust deed it is so mentioned as well, and indeed it's like that the CEO is assumed as a, what is this term, co-trustee, ex officio, which means you are a trustee on the basis of your position as a CEO.
No voting rights,
but you can speak, you need to give reports and so forth. But when they take decisions, your vote does not count. So, since she became the CEO, she's therefore ex officio in the trust body by virtue of that position, not by being nominated or by being elected. All right. I was going to say, honorable members, the second suggestion we'll give you as trustees. Because when at some stage I sat and went through all these documents, and hopefully I'll find another time shortly to read the additional information you gave us, I had a sense, which I think I now is shared by the other members, in terms of the questions that they were asking, things are not right in the trust. Either some of these things you do them on the basis of not fully understanding the responsibilities, or just on the basis of pure ignorance. When if there's foul play, that's something else. But in order for you to correct the situation, here you give us the audited statements that are unsigned, and you can fear the feeling of the members that we don't really accept this state of affairs. We would suggest to you that in your own trustees meeting, I don't know whether you call it a board, you call it what, when you convene a meeting, consider and decide on what is called forensic audit. Because this is going to help you as trustees. Because firstly, you are going to have a clear picture of the movement of your finances so that you can account better than you have done now. Secondly, given the challenge that you have of the income stream drying up in terms of the royalties, because the Royalties Act applies to everybody else. But we will come back to you because we don't want that community to be disadvantaged in any way. But we can't take position to assist you to go, for instance, to National Treasury and plead your case so that you continue receiving the royalties. If you don't have a clear picture of how your finances performance is, we've got that power in Parliament. That's the act of Parliament. We can intervene, talk to the relevant minister, in this case the Minister of Finance, to basically give this picture that this is the work that you have been doing. And out of all this that you have given us, we select really your core business and say, over these years, this is what you have been able to deliver to that community. This is what lies ahead for you in terms of the community that you are overseeing, and therefore you cannot do without the royalties. But we can't do that if there is no clear report in terms of the forensic, you know, auditing that must be performed. You can take that decision on your own, in your board, proactively, so that if we find a situation where we can be able to assist you, you can also be able to assist your fans as trustees and assist ultimately your own community to continue benefiting. The third reason would be to also have a clarity of mind in your own, whether your system, your financial system. You hear members here acquiring, you know, a number of transactions that they pick up. Whether your financial systems and policies are basically, in terms of even your own terms, within these governance structures, good governance, you know, expectations. Because there are certain minimum standards that are expected from non-profit organizations. There are certain minimum standards that are expected from profit-making organizations, like companies. For instance, you've got these King 1, 2, 3, and whatever, you know, policies. So that foreign audit will lift some of the policy shortfalls, some of the system's shortcomings. And lastly, if there's any, you know, indication of corruption, of course, the forensic audit will lift that and put it on the table for you, the trustees, to see, you know, and take the informed decision on such matters. So based on those four reasons, we would suggest to you that at the same time, within a very short space of time, take a decision proactively to conduct forensic audit on your own. So that's you. These are the advices we're giving you. But for us, honorable members, I think we've been trying to dig, and indeed the picture doesn't fall into place. No, going backwards and forwards. It therefore means that we would need a decisive intervention in this trust. The nature and the form of that intervention must be given to us through legal opinion. We're not going to pay money. We've got legal services within us. So with us, you just lift your finger and then you get people to do things. So we need to get the legal opinion to look at what would be the decisive and immediate intervention that we must make in order for us to ensure that the objectives of the trust still remain, you know, relevant, but also to look at whether the deed itself is its provisions are still relevant as they were at the time when it was established. Therefore, if there are changes that are needed, then we need to also engage the trustees on that, but also to look at the very same matter of forensic audit. If you have not taken that decision yourselves, Parliament will take that decision. But when we take it from our side, we rest assured that the Auditor General will perform that. And indeed, it would mean many things. It would mean you might be put under administration immediately before that audit, that forensic audit process is concluded. So that's why we say, as an advice to you, proactively take this action, put your house in order, so to speak, so that we can see where are these gaps, how can we help you, to help you, to help the community that you are representing. But we won't help you to break the law. We will only help you to do what is good for the community. We don't know what any process can uncover, but then, as we say, the committee section, the research unit, must then find a legal basis that would enable us to immediately act on the matter. But if you act before us, by all means, pick up a phone or write a letter to the committee section and say, we've taken some decisions already. We'd want to address portfolio committee. We would listen to you. and then engage you on whatever decisions that you shall have taken. But if we act before you, then you must know that here today we've taken that decision, that we're seeking legal opinion. Based on that legal opinion, action would follow. Form and nature of action would differ, would be dictated to us by the legal. I'm putting it to you, honorable members. I want your responses, and so that it's recorded as a decision that we've taken. Aside from the advice that we've given the trust, but also we need our own decision in this regard. Before you do that, we have also companies that are contributing. I have the pity that the gentleman who represent public enterprises is not here, but I don't know if there's somebody from Transex here. Clause, clause 8.6 reads, without detracting from the wide discretionary powers given to trustees, management councils, as well as local communities within the rural management council areas, and various mining companies whose royalties are the main source of trust income, may give written inputs to the trustees to be considered when they take decisions regarding application of the trust fund. This is one very important clause that I came across in reading this trust deed, which seeks to counter the argument that has been put forward by the company that, no, we have a trustee there, but powerless and all of that, and then washing their hands. But yet, in the deed, it places an obligation on them, because it was worrying us, why would the company continue throwing money into what they would see as a bottomless pit and do nothing? But yet in the trust deed, it says they have an interest, they have a role to play. My question to you is, did Transex ever invoke this clause? Was there ever any communication with yourselves in terms of suggestion of where could the funds be used and so forth in terms of clause 8.6? And I'm going to look at ALESCO, which I believe similar provision is made. Unfortunately, a person from ALESCO is around. Answer us, CEO, whoever, on that.
Meneer die voorzitter, agbare voorzitter, ons het in baie vroeë jare vanaf Transex een skrywe gekry waarin hulle gevra dat die trust een bijdrage moet lever tot die keerpad tussen Alexanderbaai en Waken. En daar, ek kan nie recall of daar al so een skrywe vanaf Transex gekom het waar hulle aanbeveling of een aanzoek vir ons gevolg het.
Chairperson, in the early years, we received some letter notification from Transex that the trust should give a contribution towards building a tar road. I didn't get exactly between which places, Alexander Bay and Barker. And the CEO can't recall any other occasion where any letter or any other communication was received from Transex about doing anything else.
Alex Cole, any similar arrangements in your trust deed?
Honorable Chair, the arrangement in the trust deed, as far as Alex Cole's involvement in the trust is concerned, is that Alex Cole has the right to appoint 5 trustees to the trust.
Have they been appointed?
They have been appointed, but many of the appointees, or all, in fact, all of the current appointees of the trust are ex-employees. Just going through the documents, it seems like the appointees of ALESCO are always employees of ALESCO as well. But because of high staff turnover the last few years,
all of those appointees had left. What I can say is that it is on the agenda of the next board meeting of Alex Gore, where the board is going to look at making new appointments.
But also in the board meeting, Alex Gore can assist us, because in whatever decision we take, companies will be affected.
They will be affected. But in terms of the report presented by Alex Gore to us here, the last contribution made was in 1998 to Alex Gore Development Foundation. And that there were these changes where there was a 30% 30% of the turnover, that I don't know whether profit or turnover, that would be given. But later that was changed to 10% of some activities in Alex Gore, but later changed into a contract work between Alex Gore and the Alex Gore Development Foundation. There's a gap. What I'm trying to point out is that there's a gap between 1998 to date in terms of the required contribution by Alex Gore to the Alex Gore Development Foundation. Whatever that contribution, if there were changes in 1998 into something else, it's clear that that was not implemented. There were changes that came further to 10%, of something that was also not implemented. Now this trust fund last received in terms of the direct contribution in 1998, but we hear, which I want to know also from the NDFG, that there are mining activities going on where this trust Alex Gore is receiving growing income. I don't know if from your side with Sunday you have similar arrangements. No. Okay. I hope my Afrikaans is because I learned it in Northern Cape, we were forced to speak Afrikaans.
Voorzitter, ek wil net sê dat ons het hierdie bewelings met transeks, waar hulle myne aan ons sien. Daar is een voorstel op die tafel dat die NDFT kan 5% of hulle de aanbod gemaakt van 5% aan die NDFT in die mynbedrijf in die toekomst by kleins te beheer kleins.
Chairperson, we do not have an arrangement or an agreement with TransX, the same as is mentioned about Alex Gore. There is, however, some agreement where 5% to the NDFT, in the future at some of the Beers mine.
All right. Honourable members, I think we still are still running out of time. And I see your hands are still up. I was wrapping up. But let's hear you, Honorable Van Diemen, Honorable Murray, Honorable Paniso, Honorable Sondo.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I'm also not surprised that Alex Gore is not giving this NDFT any more money. Because if I was a company and this company was potting up all the money,
why would I give them more money? If they did good work and they could see that there was upliftment in the area, then they would obviously give them some more money and they would support them. But that's not happening. So I would suggest that this board goes away and they work out a nice business plan how they can actually help those people on the ground and not putting up the money in these huge investments, and actually spend that money so that they can get new money, you know? If you spend money, you get new money. That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's correct. You, this NDFT has no relationship with Alex Cole.
But they will give the money.
No, they've got relationship with Transex. Alex Cole has got its own trust fund, which is the one that we said refused to come here. That's the one that we are going to deal with in terms of the constitution. We're supposed to subpoena them. So these ones, at least for now, they are not in the frying pan as far as Alex Cole situation is concerned. Honorable Mare?
I think three things quickly, sir. According to the law, the royalties, was that payable to other mine companies within the Namakwa area? Do they also have to pay the royalties to this fund? Because it seems only Transet that was actually making a contribution to this trust fund. Wasn't there any other mining companies as well in that area? Because it seems that they should have done it as well. Then I support about the previous suggestions that you made previously. I have to leave now as a member of this committee, but I support what you are saying. And I will extend the invitation that we will be in 2 weeks' time in Kimberley, and that we can actually allocate like 2 or 3 hours a day for them to come back to us. They don't have the expense to come all the way to Cape Town. Thank you, sir.
I think we'll welcome that. Would you be ready by then? Shall we have taken your decision in 2 weeks' time?
In that third week of November, we will be in Kimberley. What is 14 days? Honourable member, according to the trust deed, we had a dispute, and we had to rectify additions made, and a special council meeting where notice was given less than 14 days. So we need to give notice for a special council meeting. And the minimum days are 14 days.
Our oversight trip starts on the 22nd. Eh? And you've got more than 14 days between now and that time. Rio?
Chairperson, we can look at the 14 days, but most importantly here is we've already sent out the program for the area visits that we'll be doing.
You see, CEO, you must make a decision. Do you want to correct the situation that you're picking up, the trustees, or do you want us to do it for you? Yes,
Honorable Chair, the board will we will decide, and we will I will inform the chairperson of the trust so that he can then give notice to the CEO so that she can give the proper notice for a special council meeting.
Yeah. Take this seriously.
Yeah.
You see, because also CEO, you are ex officio in the board. Trustees must decide, not you. You are ex-official in the board. If anything goes wrong, you are safe because you are an employee of the trust.
Mm.
These trustees are liable. Mm. You can wash your hands easily unless you've been involved in some corruption. But strictly speaking, in terms of decisions taken, you are not there. The trustees are the ones that must answer. So that's why this matter is important, that trustees must decide. 14 days notice you can give. We're only there from the 22nd. And we'll meet you. You give us what is it that you have done so far, and then we'll evaluate, you know, from there. And assist you, because Parliament is not there to punish anybody, but it's there to assist you. Because what we have seen there
there's poverty in that area.
Mm.
We wouldn't want to be associated with a decision which closes off the tap of finances that flow into yourself. But also, on the other hand, we will have no legs to stand on to motivate for something that we ourselves are not happy with. So it's along those lines where we said, take a decision. And calling a meeting is nothing. You know, I think you should go ahead and do that, and then we'll meet you in Northwest Cape as of the 22nd. Honorable members, is there anything else that is outstanding? Honorable Soto?
Yes, sir, that's a very quick one. Which municipality did you buy those cars?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Die man van Stris het die oorgangsraad en die skool van Kobus het aansoek gedoen vir vervoer vir die skoolkinders en vir die oorgangsraadlede vir vergaderings. En dit was in die busie was gebruik, die busie was aangekoop, die busie was gebruik deur die skool sowel as die res van die gemeenskap, maar dit was onder die bestuur van die local government.
Put it off.
Chairperson, the trust bought the vehicle for the transition council and for the school. It was used by the school, for the school and for the community, and it was under the local government of the Richtersveld Kobus. I only mentioned, they only mentioned a bus, a minibus,
the bus. Were there other vehicles that you purchased for police?
Chairperson, in our last presentation, they said that they wanted municipalities to be mobile, and they bought cars for municipalities. I heard you saying it. The buses, the story of buses where you are transporting children was another addition to what you were saying.
Chairperson, we said a car, and a car means motor vehicle to us.
All right, we are closing, honorable members. Yes,
in conclusion, Chairperson, in conclusion, because we are wasting time here, I'm saying that again. This Alexco must be subpoenaed. We are not allowed, as this portfolio, to sit here to listen to one person from Alexco while they were trustee members. It is not fair to portfolio committee members. It's not fair to parliament. And we are not going to allow that, honorable chairperson. Even with the NDFT, we were just wasting our all the time. Thank you, Chair.
All right. I think honorable members, we've arrived at our decision. Let's thank you very much, NDFT. Hoping to see you in the third week in the Northern Cape, and to take the matter forward. The committee section is going to arrange a meeting with between me and the legal unit, and we will then determine after that meeting with the trustees what course of action should we take, which would be therefore immediate. But if you come with good reports, there's no reason why we shouldn't work together. And as three citizens of this country. Thank you very much for having been here in the past 2 weeks. And indeed, we really appreciate the efforts that you have taken. And thank you, honorable members from the other portfolio committees. It's been quite very much of assistance to us here. The depth and the knowledge of the issues has assisted us to have arrived at the position that we have arrived at. So thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
If I may, I bought very
Thank you.